Hello, and welcome to the Heaven Bound Podcast. My name is Jason Harden. I'm here with Roger Shouse, and we are opening the Bible in search of fuel for your spiritual journey. This is where we talk about life, the way it was meant to be, and what it means to be a disciple of Jesus in the 21st century. We appreciate you joining us today on the journey. We are on Fridays here from the start of 2022. We have been looking at one of the most famous parables of Jesus. In episode one, we looked at the story introduced. We know it as the parable of the prodigal son from Luke chapter 15. Last Friday, we looked at the far country. And Roger, today we want to dive into this younger son.
And we want to look at the turning point of his life. And this will, we'll read a few verses. We're going to focus on just these verses today. Without this turning point, without him coming to his senses, this is just another sad story. And there's really no redeeming value in this. But Jesus is telling us this story. He's telling us to his multitudes that this really is their story. It's really our story. How easy we've made a mess of things in our lives, but that's not the end of the story. We can turn and come back to God, and that's what we find here.
The turning of a new year is often a time where we think about making changes, maybe turning around, involving ourselves in different sorts of patterns of behavior and habits. And so this parable has so many different lessons. If you haven't had the opportunity to listen to the first two episodes, I'd certainly encourage you to do it. Roger, why don't I begin by reading, starting in verse 17. We talked about how he ends up, this younger son, in the far country. We want to zero in on verses 17 down to really about the first half of verse 20. Jesus says in this parable, but when he came to himself, this younger, reckless son, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. Now we'll hit the pause button there, and Lord willing, next Friday we'll talk about the father. But Roger, from those few verses, what do we need to understand on an ordinary Friday here in early 2022?
Well, this young man had left the house. His father had given him his share of the estate. So he left the house with a pocket full of money and a head full of dreams. And it became a nightmare. A famine happened. He was out of money. And he got so desperate, he started working for a Gentile pig farmer. He got so low that he was wanting to eat the pods. And pods are just hard shells that a pig would eat. No human would want to eat those things, but he was so desperate, so hungry that he was desiring to do that. And in the New American Standard says he came to his senses. We might say he woke up. He had a reality moment. And there's two things that he really realized. First of all, he realized how desperate he was. In verse 17, which you read, New American Standard says, I am dying here with hunger. He realized how bad that was. The verse before in verse 16 says no one was giving him anything to eat. Even this farmer he's working for had no heart. He was giving him nothing. So he's hopeless. He's desperate. That's one realization that I have really made a big mistake in my life. The second realization was to think about his father. And that's what really woke him up. It wasn't that he missed the family dog. It wasn't that he missed sleeping in his own bed at night. It wasn't that he wished he could go back home and play with his friends. What he missed was how gracious and good his father was. Servants back home had more than enough bread, the text tells us. They were well taken care of by his father. And so the servants were in a better position than the son. And that really woke him up.
You know, this idea of coming to himself or coming to his senses, I think there's a lesson there about the dangerous impacts of sin. I've heard all my life. I know you have preached it. It has been preached all over the place. And scripture shows us in a variety of different ways, sin carries us further than we ever intended to go. It costs us more than we were ever willing to pay. It keeps us longer than we were ever willing to stay. You know, you can illustrate that with Adam and Eve. You can illustrate that with Samson. You can illustrate that here. This young man has been lulled to sleep, in a sense, by sin. He is dead, and for a while he doesn't even realize he was dead. Now, that illustrates for us, obviously, the craftiness of the adversary of our souls, but it also teaches us something about sin, right? That this man is not in his right mind, in a sense. It takes him coming to himself, coming to his senses before he's ever able to get this turned around.
And you know, what a great description of what sin is. Sin is senseless.
Yeah.
I mean, we see it in the nightly news. Somebody will shoot somebody for a few dollar bills. You end somebody's life for a few dollars. That doesn't make any sense. People will smoke and drink anything possible. Why? That doesn't make any sense. And that's because sin doesn't make sense. Now, we'll talk next time about the father, but in verse 24, a statement the father makes which describes the son at this condition, he says, "This son of mine was dead," and then he says, "He was lost." And that's where he realized that. Not only is he dying of hunger as he sees himself, he's dead spiritually. He's without hope. There's no one around that's going to pick him up. And it's that realization that there's only one choice I have, and that's I got to go back home. God will accept me. And that's the point that Jesus is wanting us to see here. And so from this two realization, my present condition, where I am, and I think to put it bluntly, you know, we need to ask ourselves, if I was to die today, if this is my last day on this planet, would I go to heaven? For this young man, he knew the answer, and the answer was no, because he had not lived according to what God wanted him to do. The second realization was his God, his Father, is gracious. He's merciful. He's generous. And upon that, he wants to make some changes. So that leads to this study of repentance. Repentance is a change. Repentance is more than simply saying, I'm sorry, and everything magically goes away. It's a turn. It's a turn of direction. And three things happen here. First of all, it begins in his head. He realized where he was. He realized in his head that this just isn't right. I've got to do something different, because if I stay on this course, I'm going to die physically. I'm going to die spiritually. That led to the second action here, and that's in his mouth. And he prepares a speech here, and he practices this speech. He says in verse 18, I will get up and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men. What a contrast. He left the house demanding, give me my share of the estate. He's coming back home begging. Now, again, we lose some of the emphasis in that last statement. Can you imagine being a servant to your own family? You stand behind a chair and you make sure that their food is there. You take away their plates. You let them eat first. Then you clean the dishes. Then you eat yourself later. That's what a servant did. A servant didn't sit down at the table. A servant served the family. And so as a son, I'm giving up my sonship. I'm willing to become a servant. So he had rehearsed this. This is something he said in his mouth. My head realizes I'm not right. I've got to say this to my father. But then the key verse in verse 20 says he got up and he came to his father. And I believe that's the third step we have to have in your head, in your mouth, and in your feet. There's a lot of people that will tell you alcohol has killed my marriage, but they don't get up and make a change. A lot of people will say, I'm addicted to porn, but they won't get up and make a change. There's a lot of people say, you know what? I should be coming back to church services. Haven't been there in a long time, but they won't, they won't get up and they won't come home. And so it wasn't enough they just thought these thoughts. It wasn't enough they just practiced this in his own mouth. He had to get up and come to his father.
All right, so let's kind of walk through those. You have head, mouth, and feet, and I think that's a good progression, obviously, that we see right here in Luke chapter 15. Starts with the head. Obviously, what that says to me is this has to be personal, right? I can't put that desire in someone's head, someone's heart, that is not felt by them. Now, I can use God's word, for instance, to appeal to their senses. I can use the love of the Father that is documented in Scripture to try and make an appeal to their heart. But don't you get the sense, first of all, with head, this is something that has to be owned by that person individually.
And what's interesting here is he didn't come to this realization because he sat and heard a sermon. He didn't have a mom or dad getting on him saying, son, you know, you need to get back home. He knew enough within himself. Most of us do. Most of us really know the difference between right and wrong. Most of us really know what sinful life really is. And we come to that realization. Sometimes a sermon will help. Sometimes somebody just kind of behind us pleading will help us. But this young man came to this on his own.
Yeah. There were seeds there, obviously, that had been planted a long time ago. And maybe that's the good news, the hope that the parent of a prodigal that is listening to this episode needs to remember, that there were seeds of this is who my father is, this is life the way it was meant to be, this is what home was for me and perhaps can be once again, but those seeds had been buried, neglected. There were other things that looked better in the moment, and that young man made choices to leave those seeds behind. But there are a whole lot of parents who perhaps are hanging on to the power of that life-giving seed that it might be a good long time before it sprouts and provides new life in a heart the way that it is in the heart of this young man. But it's got to start with, okay, this is what I am resolved to do. Nobody can do this for me. Let's move, Roger, then from the head to the mouth. Why is it so important, do you think, that this man say personally what he says?
Well, two things. You know, what this really is a confession.
Okay.
And the book of 1 John talks about if we confess our sins, God's faithful to forgive us. And so that's one of the blessings of being a child of God. So, but not only is it a confession, he's owning up to this. As he's saying this, he's not saying, well, you know, conditions at home led me to this, or I'm going to blame this Gentile pig farmer for not helping me out. It was his choices. He put himself in there. And so by saying that, he's owning to his own sin. It's interesting, we don't see the father coming out to the pig pen. We don't see the father sending money to the pig pen. We don't see the parent enabling the child. Sometimes that's hard as a parent to see your child getting in the pig pen. And sometimes as a parent, you want that child healthy and well and safe. And sometimes what we do is we take away the dangers that they see. A night in jail, losing your license, being expelled from school. Those are hard, hard lessons, but they can be reality moments that the choices and the direction that this person's on is not working out. This is not the right way it should be. And this young man now saying these things realized that now the next step is I've got to say it to the person I hurt, and that was to God.
Yeah, I appreciate how straightforward he is. And I think there's a lesson there. You know, when we move from what's going on in the mind to what's coming out of the mouth, he says, Father, I have sinned. Fundamental to confession, the way you were talking about, as God talks about it, is calling what God calls, saying the same things that God says, right? If God says this is sin, confession is me acknowledging this was not a slip up. This was not a mistake. This was not a character flaw. Nobody made me do this. I have sin. That's what David did in Psalm 51, right? I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Well, there's the heart, right? This is the turning point in the mind. And then he is willing to say in Psalm 51 verse 4, against you, God, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So important that if sin is as serious as it's portrayed in the Bible, I am willing to acknowledge sin for what it is, even when I've made the choice and it's made a wreck of my life.
And I really like how he states this. I have sinned against heaven. I have sinned in your sight. And there's a footnote, New American Standard, for in your sight, it just says before you.
Yeah.
Now, not only does he acknowledge his sins, but the very next verse, verse 19, I am no longer worthy to be called your son. See, he doesn't say I've sinned, but still I'm your son. I sinned and still you've got to treat me right. No, he didn't. He realized how bankrupt he was. No longer is he demanding. I have sinned. And I'm not worthy anymore. And I think it's those two things he says that really brings this to the repentance that it should be.
Yeah. It is the godly grief, to borrow from Paul in 2 Corinthians, that is fueling this repentance and keeping him humble, right? He does not come back with demands. He comes full of humility, but he comes back. And that leads us to that third dimension, right? From the head to the mouth to the feet. He got up. He arose. Repentance is about more than saying to myself, well, I really messed that up. Repentance is about more than saying, yeah, my bad. Repentance is coming back home.
Coming back home broken. And so, you know, when Jesus began the Beatitudes, he talks about blessed are the poor in spirit. That has nothing to do with bank accounts. That has to do exactly where this son is. When we stand before God and say, hey, God, here I am. I know you're so happy to have me. I'm not bankrupt. I don't see myself as I really am. Broken and really worthy only to be a servant if the Father would take him. That's how the son came back home. And again, coming to our senses is painful. It's a realization that I did wrong. It's a realization that there's no one to blame but me. And it's a realization that there's only one place I can go, and that's back to God.
You know, in Western modern culture, obviously we're not big on being humiliated. We live in a social media age where so many are so concerned about building a highly photoshopped, glossy persona that, you know, this, I've got it all together. Everything is great. Life is perfect. Marriage is a dream. Kids are just the most Instagrammably perfect sort of kids you could possibly have. Job is great. Life is wonderful. And when it all falls apart, I've got a choice there, right? One of the things that I think this story so powerfully shows is sin is humiliating. Sin is brokenness, as you described it, Roger. And if I'm going to truly repent, number one, I've got to call it what God calls it, but I've got to allow myself to feel this humiliation, right? I have sinned. I am no longer worthy. If I am allowed just to be a servant, I'm willing to do that in order to come back home. I think it's so important that we realize, okay, when it comes to change, when it comes to really turning lives around, there's a cost associated there, right? There's a cost with changing. There's a cost with acknowledging my brokenness and my desperation for God. But whatever the cost of changing is, it is not as great as the cost would be of staying in my sins.
Absolutely. And so oftentimes when somebody wants to come home and they're like this prodigal and they're bare and raw and they say, I sin, too many times the people of God will say, well, that's okay. No, it's not okay. Yeah. It's not okay. It's wonderful we came back home, but we cannot just say, well, what you did is just fine. It's not fine. Now, notice this bridge. And this takes us back to our very first lesson, why Jesus even told this story. There's a series of three parables all together here, lost sheep, lost coin, lost boys. And the chapter begins with the tax collectors and the sinners were coming to Jesus to listen to him. And the Pharisees and the scribes began to grumble, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. Then rather than responding to that with a yes or a no, Jesus tells these three stories. What do we find with this prodigal? The prodigal came home. What do we see in verse 1? The tax collectors and sinners were coming to him.
Yeah.
That's the story here. And so as Jesus is telling the story, the tax collectors and the sinners, they were the ones who are this prodigal. Yeah, they've done wrong, but where are they coming? They're coming to Jesus, and they're finding at home what they didn't find out there. And that's one of the powerful things about him coming home. He left that pocket full of money, a head full of ideas that, you know, I'm going to be free, this is going to be fun, this is going to be great. And what he really needed was always at home. He was loved, he had fellowship, he was taken care of. That's what he really needed. And Satan will blind us to what's out there, and that's really not what's really there.
Yeah. A transformation from the head to the mouth to the feet, he arose and came to his father. Now, we know the rest of the story, but we're going to leave the cliffhanger right there. Perhaps there were some in that audience who thought, as Jesus is telling this story, well, the father is really going to teach this son a lesson. He's finally going to get what he deserves. There are powerful, powerful lessons that, Lord willing, we will come back to this coming Friday, a week from today, about that great father who was anxiously scanning the horizon. But Roger, I appreciate you joining me today. We appreciate all of you for listening to the Heaven Bound podcast. We hope it's helped you set your mind on things above as we head into the weekend. Hope that it's given you a little more fuel for the journey. Always remember, when you're walking with Jesus, you are heaven bound, and the best is yet to come.